1 Corinthians chapter 15, we continue our study, the book of 1 Corinthians, our study entitled Called. God has called us. He's called us into a way of life. And today, we're going to be looking at the finish line. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 is where we will start this morning. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Verse 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Again, let us pray. Brother Michael, would you lead our prayer, please?
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity this morning, God. We come to you now as we change, as we listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I loved our music service today. We're singing all those songs about I Will Rise and songs like that. And you know, there's just something special about when we worship. But there's something even more special when we worship, looking forward to that day when we're worshiping truly in the presence of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? And you know, as we were singing, as I said, I was moved. I was just touched. But can you imagine standing in the presence of God Himself, in the presence of Jesus, our blessed Savior? Can you imagine praising and worshiping live and in person? What a day that will be. In the text, that's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the finish line. He's talking about being able to look ahead and see that point where when you reach that point, you know it'll be worth it. And that as you're going to that point, that you're motivated to keep pressing forward no matter what happens. You know, a while ago I started an exercise program, and several times a week I've got it marked off at different spots where I try to get in my 2 mile walk. And you know, from the time I begin my 2 mile walk to the time I'm finishing my 2 mile walk, do you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about the finish line. I'm thinking about that point where I walk across that line and I say, yes, I'm done. I've accomplished it for the day. I don't have to do it again today, you know? And there's a certain amount of joy. There's a certain amount of accomplishment when you reach that finish line. Well, I want to tell you, there is a finish line that we know as children of God is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, that finish line when this life is past and we experience the glory that God has saved us for. And that's my goal with you today. I want to help you to see that finish line. First thing that we learn about the finish line, Paul shared that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Here it is. You're not going to heaven the way you are. And that's good news. You're not going to heaven the way you are. And that is good news because of this flesh. First of all, this flesh speaks of your current physical makeup. And the problem that we have with this flesh is sin. And sin cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When we come to that point in heaven, we're not going to have a sin problem anymore. We're going to cast this sinful body aside. This body that's scarred by error. This body that can't stand in the glory of God. You realize you could not stand in God's glory today in the presence of God? I love the story about Moses. When Moses said, God, show me your glory. I just want to see you. And God said, I can't do that. If I were to show you, if you were to look at me, Moses, it would kill you. And so God put him in the cleft of the rock, like that old song we sang. And God passed by, and as he passed by, Moses got a glimpse of the back of the glory of God. Because that was all he could stand. Do you realize we're going to get a new body that can stand the glory? Oh, I like that. That's encouraging, for me. A body that is not corruptible. Said neither can corruption inherit incorruption. And what he's talking about there, he's talking about the decay, that which is subject to decay. Have you noticed, or do you notice, that you're not the man you once were? Men? I said, oh, somebody put a picture of me on Facebook here a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to see the picture. But it was me back when I was young and cool. And you know what? I was all, like I say, had a lot of hair. That's why I don't want you to see the picture. But you could just, I was young. And I take that picture and I look in the mirror today and guess what I see? Well, I'm not old, but I'm not young anymore. I see a body that something happened to that big, black, thick hair that I had, and now it's thin and gray. I see a body that if I go out and do too much in one day, tomorrow I'm going to groan all day because this body's going to hurt. It didn't used to be that way. Have you ever noticed? Do y'all do this? Maybe it's just me. You're sitting down, everything's good. Oh, man. Getting up didn't used to be a problem. Now we groan when we get out of a chair. I don't get that. I don't know why we do that. It doesn't hurt. But we do. But the point is this. This is decaying. This is not forever. And this is not what we want to go to heaven in. But God has good news. Jesus has prepared a place just for us, eternal in the heavens. I want to share with you the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And now listen, I'm talking to you who are saved. If you have never made a commitment to Christ, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this message should remind you of what you're missing out on. Okay? But it is available to you. All right? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. You know what he's talking about there? He's not talking about buildings and houses. He's talking about this body. When this body comes to the point that it fails and that it, we're all coming to that point where we just can't go any farther, we're going to cast this body off. And the good news is, if you're a child of God, He has a new body that He's preparing for you. One that you won't have to groan anymore when you get out of the chair. One that won't hurt. One that is invigorated with a youth that'll never end. That's what God has prepared for His children. John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There is a better life waiting for the children of God. There is a finish line. But see, the problem is that Jesus has prepared all this eternal stuff, this glorious, eternal, heavenly stuff that we can't inherit like this. So how do we get it? How do we get from here to what Jesus has prepared for us? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I want to share with you this morning that God has a plan. I want you to know we're not on autopilot. We're not some big splatter of matter on a big dirt ball just careening through the universe without any direction or plan. God has a plan, okay? And He has all things under control. And Paul shares with us, he says, "I show you a mystery," in verse 51. "I show you a mystery." Things that not everybody knows. What mystery is he talking about? He's talking about the same mystery in Revelation chapter 10, verse 5, where he says, "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer." I like the sound of that, don't you? "That there should be delay no longer. But the days of the sounding of the seventh angel," when he is about to sound, "the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets." My friends, what I want you to get here is that there has been a plan from the very beginning. And one of these days, we're going to reach that point where God says, "Okay, that's enough. It's time for it all to end. It's time for the inheritance to begin. It's time for the children of God to be transformed." We'll be, you know what transformed is, right? We'll be changed. We'll be transformed, made into something absolutely different than what we are. You know what we're going to be like? You want to know what we're going to be like? I can answer that question. We're going to be like Jesus. Okay? We're going to be like Jesus. In John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, shares with us how we can know we're going to be like Jesus. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You want to know when this time comes and we cast off this old body and we get to this point, this finish line that we're talking about today, what it's going to be like? Well, first of all, you're going to be like Jesus Christ Himself. Well, what will that be like, Brother Doug? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked. It'll be like nothing we've ever known before. You're much more informed now, right? I wish I could explain it. I wish I knew. But I don't fully know. I know that after Jesus had died and rose from the grave, one great ability he had, he would just show up somewhere. He just appeared in the upper room with his disciples. He just appeared on the road to Emmaus before two of his disciples. I mean, he just show up. They didn't see him coming. They didn't see him leaving. And after he get done, he just vanish. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just cool. You know? It'd be like when I finish preaching, I'm gone. You know? That's just cool. So, Brother Doug, that means we're going to be some kind of spirit being? No, that's what the apostles thought that Jesus was. When they first saw Him, Luke 24, verse 39, He said, "No, I'm not a spirit." He said, "Look at my hands and my feet. I myself. Handle me, see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Jesus actually had a body, something you can touch, something with flesh and bones. And you say, "Brother Doug, this is just way out there." Yes, it is way out there. But you know what? I guarantee you, when you receive this new body that Jesus is preparing, you're just going to say, oh, thank you, Lord. This is the greatest thing I've ever known. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to be like Jesus. Now let's answer another question. How will it happen? Oh, I like this part. How will it happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, according to our text. That word moment is interesting. They didn't have another English word, so they put that word in there. And the Greek word literally means something that is so small it cannot be divided. All right? So, when this transformation takes place, when Jesus steps out of heaven and that trumpet sounds, and this transformation takes place, it's going to happen faster than can be measured. It's going to happen in the blink of an eye. Now, stick with me here if you would. Do you ever think about blinking your eyes? It just happens, doesn't it? Do you realize that what I'm talking about, we could be sitting here, and before you blink the next time, you're transformed in the presence of Jesus Christ. Is that not the most exciting thing ever? Before you can blink. Before you can, I mean, you're sitting here listening to me 1 minute and you blink your eyes and you're in the presence of Jesus. Some of you are thinking, okay, I'm not going to blink anymore. I'm going to hold my eyes wide open. Oh no, I want to blink. I want to, you know, I want to keep on blinking. Say, even so, Lord Jesus, now, let it be today. That trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised up. Coming out of the, can you imagine the dead coming out of the grave? Now, I want you to understand. If you, you say, Brother Doug, what happens when we die right now? Well, your body goes into the grave. That's what we do with dead people. But your spirit goes to be with the Lord. Right? If you're a child of God, your body goes into the grave, but your spirit, and we know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, we read how that being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's right. Okay? But we do leave that old body in the grave. Can you imagine the day? Can you imagine the day? When the trumpet sounds and dead bodies are expelled from their graves to meet Jesus in the air. What are you going to do when that happens? Are you going to sit around and watch as bodies are floating up in the air? No, you're not going to have time for that. Remember? Something that happens so fast that it can't be divided in the blink of an eye. What happens is they rise first. But in a fraction of a millisecond, you're going to be changed. And we're all going to go meet with Jesus in the air. That's how it's going to happen. Quicker than you can blink your eyes. We're going to be in the presence of Christ. Oh, that just sounds good. When will it happen? Oh, that's the question of the ages. Maybe we could take a poll and we could say, are you pre-trib rapture? Are you mid-trib rapture? Are you end-of-trib rapture? And there'd be people raise their hands on probably all cases. Now, I want to tell you what we cannot afford to do. We have to agree on this one thing about the rapture, that the rapture is going to happen. Okay? Now, you may be a pre-trib and somebody else may be a mid-trib and that's fine, but you got to agree it's going to happen. All right? The day's coming. When do I think it's going to happen? It depends on what day I'm studying what. I'll just be honest with you. It depends on what day I'm studying. I know. That's not the word to use here. There is a great case to be given. I believe it's going to happen somewhere in the first part of the tribulation period. Okay? There's a great case to be made when John says the last trump here in the text that we read, that word last comes from the Greek word eschate, which means eschatology. That's where we get eschatology, right? Eschatology is the study of last things, right? In the Greek, that word eschate means the last in a series of. So when Paul says, when the last trumpet sounds, it's the last in a series of. Now, I do not know 100%. But there's only one series of trumpets that I found in the Bible. And that's in Revelation chapter 11. Okay? The seven trumpets. And when you get to that seventh trumpet, and we'll go back to what I mentioned earlier, Revelation 10, 5 through 7, when God says it's time that the mystery of God be finished, and then in Revelation chapter 11, that mystery of God is finished, I think there is a very good possibility that the rapture occurs somewhere within that sounding of that seventh trumpet. Okay? Now, I want to tell you what I want to believe. I want to believe that before anything happens, Jesus is going to snatch us out of here. I really do. Do I know that for sure? No. And Brother Doug, you don't know very much, do you? You're catching on. I don't. But I do know. I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's coming a day when that trumpet will sound, and it is the recall trumpet. It is the gathering trumpet. Where when we hear that trumpet, we are going to leave this earth quick, fast, and in a hurry into the presence of Jesus Christ. And why will it happen? Oh, I'll let you read Revelation 11 a little later. Why will it happen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. We have the why. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. My friends, you want to know why it's going to happen? It's going to happen because to restore that relationship that Christ has meant for mankind to have with Him from the very beginning. Can you imagine in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve literally walked with God? If they had a question for God, they would ask God. Can you imagine that? My friends, that's where we're going back to. So that we can always and forever be reunited in that right relationship that God has desired us to have with Him since the beginning. And I want you to understand, my friends, when you experience that, you'll look back at your time on this earth and you'll say it was worth every bit of it. Every sacrifice, everything that I, all my service for the Lord, it was worth every bit of it. That day is real. And that day is coming. The finish line. Victory in Jesus. Chapter 1 Corinthians, I want to reread this just to refresh our memory. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave or Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the victory in Jesus. Death is swallowed up in victory. That word swallow is a word that means to devour. It was used of animals that would devour their prey. Can you imagine coming to that point of death, where death is literally devoured in victory? Coming to that day where death has no power. Remember we read, death, where is your sting, O grave, or death, where is your victory? Can you imagine coming to that day when there's no more fear of death? Can you imagine coming to that day? I mean, right now, death lurks around every corner. I mean, we have to take precautions. We get in our car, we put our seatbelt on. Why? Because death is on the highway. We get on a motorcycle, we put our helmets on. Because death is on the highway. We eat right. Why? Because death is in our diet. Yeah, everywhere. And when our kids leave the house, what do we tell them? Be careful. Why? Because death is out there. And none of us as parents want to get that call that says you lost your child. You know? But can you imagine coming to the day where there is no more fear of death, because death no longer exists, because death has been devoured by victory? You'll never have to leave the graveside of a loved one again. We've all been to that point. We've buried someone that was dear to us, and we'd leave a certain amount of sadness. I want to tell you, when we reach this point, we've kissed that time goodbye, never to see it again. Death no longer has power. Death no longer has victory. All we know from this point forward is thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand what Jesus is about. This brings it all down and puts it in a nutshell, okay? What Jesus did, He took the curse of sin for us. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus took our sin upon Himself. Then Jesus took the curse of the law. You see, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Okay, get this. Sin. We all have a sin problem. Amen? We all have a sin problem. Christ took our sin problem. Then, since we have a sin problem, we have a punishment, a judgment problem. You know what? Christ took our judgment to a place called Calvary, and He hung Himself on the cross to pay for our sin, to take our curse, so that through Christ Jesus, we could have victory. And grab this. We didn't cover this today, but it's in chapter 15. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know what the resurrection of Jesus means? Because He lives, we too shall live. Because He rose from the grave, we too will come out of that grave. And He said, for since by one man death came, and by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Who did death come? By Adam. Who did the resurrection of the dead come by? By Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Oh, I like that. See, that's what Jesus has did for us. If you're the child of God, I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you. Look ahead. There is a finish line. And it's a glorious finish line. But I want to talk just a moment to those who are not saved. There is another finish line. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. One thing that's going to happen to everyone in this congregation today is this life's going to end. Okay? Now, when this life ends, you're going to spend eternity in one of two places. in heaven with Christ, experiencing the glory that He paid for, or in hell. The thing that will decide that is what you choose. It's up to you. You see, Jesus says, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus Christ paid it all so that there could be a finish line of glory. Can you imagine, child of God, entering heaven and seeing people like the Apostle Paul? Seeing people, men like Moses. Can you imagine that? Most of all, can you imagine entering glory and casting your eyes upon Jesus Christ for the first time? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. Are you saved? Are you saved? Basic question. Well, Brother Doug, how do I be saved? Oh, that's easy. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You are a prayer away from a glorious finish line today. A prayer away by simply asking. Do you have that assurance? If not, today's the day. Today's the day. Because whether you want to think about it or not, for every one of us there is a finish line. There is a point where this life is through. What's going to happen to you? Jesus prepared it all. He paid it all. And He did that so you could have eternity with Him. Your choice is to accept Him or reject Him. What are you going to do with that this morning? Heavenly Father, thank You. Lord, thank You for the glory of the resurrection. Thank You, Lord, that because Jesus lives, we too shall live. Thank You, Lord, for the knowledge that You have prepared a place for us eternal in the heavens. And Lord, thank You for Jesus. And now, I pray for those present in this service today who do not know You as their personal Savior, who have never made a life commitment. I pray that today will be the day that they commit their life to You. And I pray that today's the day that we as Your children will get excited about You again. And be excited for what You've done, and not only for what You have done, but for what You're going to do in the future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.